Translation.
Adam Yom then saw three half-foot persons with deformed bodily features, fierce, twisted faces, and hair standing erect on their bodies. With the ropes in their hands, they had come to take him away to the abode of Yamaraj. When he saw them, he was extremely bewildered, and because of attachment to his child, who was playing a short distance away, Ajamil began to call him loudly by his name. Thus, with tears in his eyes, he somehow or other chanted the holy name of Narayan. Perfect. A person who performs sinful activities performs them with his body, mind, and words. Therefore, three order carriers from Yamaraj came to take Ajamil to Yamaraj's abode. Fortunately, even though he was referring to his son, Ajamil chanted the four syllables of the Harinam Narayana, and therefore the aura carriers of Narayana, the Vishnu Dutas, also immediately arrived there. Because Ajamil was extremely afraid of the robes of Yamaraj, he chanted the Lord's name with tearful eyes. Actually, however, he never meant to chant the holy name of Narayan. He meant to call his son. Can we just please hear the next verse, because it is so nice, and the purpose here was extremely short, so we would very much profit to hear a little bit more about this very nice story of Ajamil, the sinner who was delivered by even chanting unconsciously the holy name. The text goes is this: Nishamya mriyamanasya mukato harikirtanam bhartu nama maharaja parshadha sahaso patan. My dear king, the aura carriers of Vishnu, the Vishnu Dutas, immediately arrived when they heard the holy name of their master from the mouth of the dying Ajamil, who had certainly chanted without offense because he had chanted in complete anxiety. Perfect. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur remarks, Hari Kirtanam Nishamya Patan Katam Bhutasya Vatu Nama Bruvataha. The order carriers of Lord Vishnu came because Ajamil had chanted the holy name of Narayan. They did not consider why he was chanting. While chanting the name of Narayan, Ajamil was actually thinking of his son. But simply because they heard Ajamil chanting the Lord's name, the aura carriers of Lord Vishnu, the Vishnu Dutas, immediately came for Ajamil's protection. Hari Kirtan is actually meant to glorify the holy name, form, pastimes, and qualities of the Lord. Ajamil, however, did not glorify the form, qualities, or paraphernalia of the Lord. He simply chanted the holy name. Nevertheless, that chanting was sufficient to cleanse him of all sinful activities. As soon as the Vishnu Dutas heard their master's name being chanted, they immediately came. In this regard, Srila Vijayavajratirtha remarks, Anena putra sneham antarena prachinadrishta balat utbhutaya bhaktya bhagavan namakirtanam kritam iti gnayate. Ajamil chanted the name of Narayan because of his excessive attachment to his son. Nevertheless, because of his past good fortune in having rendered devotional service to Narayana, he apparently chanted the holy name in full devotional service without offenses. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitti Namine Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pacharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paskatyare Satarine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Radha Srivasadi Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Verstehst du eigentlich auch Englisch? So, Roger, ich glaube, du bist der Tafelanschreiber. Nein? Wer ist das? Nicht bekannt im Augenblick. Man müsste dem Devotee sagen, dass wir schon Text 30 gelesen haben heute, sodass am Morgen den Text 31 anschreibt. Vielleicht kannst du das übernehmen, Roger. Nicht, wer immer das ist, man kann es ja leicht rausfinden. So, this is today a nice verse which can help us understand more about the mercy of Lord Krishna to him who chants the holy name. In the first canto, there is a shloka which says that fear personified leaves that person who even unconsciously, unbewusst, chants the holy name of the Lord. This is because of the supreme strength of Krishna. The strength of Krishna in helping a devotee to get free from his sinful reactions and even helping a devotee to be protected from the Yamadutas can be compared with a simple example which we have given several times. Imagine you have a room full with many, I don't know the English word here, it's something like cubic meters, must be like an English word. Cubic meters full of darkness. Cubic meter would be like a dice, würfel, no, 1 meter big one, full of dark. You can have a room full of 500 such cubic meters. But still, even though you just light a little shivitsa, light a little match and put it into the room, the darkness, the overwhelming majority or the overwhelming presence of darkness could be chased away. It never works in another way around, that you have a little light and you put it, for instance, let us say, into a dark night where there are many millions of cubic kilometers full of darkness, and they somehow chase the light of the match away. It doesn't work like this. It only works one way. Light dispels the darkness, never in another way. Even though the light may be just a little light, not a whole fire. So, even though someone starts with the process of Krishna consciousness only to a very little degree, like doing very little things. Here we find Ajamil, who really didn't want to, who really didn't mean to chant the holy name of the Lord. He just called his son, Narayan, come here. Even though only to a very little degree, Krishna is brought into one's life by some process of devotional service, that will have such an effect. Isn't that wonderful, Prabhu? No? You look uninspired. What happened? Isn't that ecstatic? That means we have chances. Because it may not be possible for all of us to immediately surrender this whole body, mind and words to the instructions of Krishna. But even a little, male. That has such great result. Once Prabhupada was asked, what is the result of someone who starts chanting? What is the result? Someone who chants. I suppose many answers could be given. He could have said, well, even if it's namabhasa, that is, not pure chanting, more like we discussed in Wiesbaden, chanting, you know, which is mixed. For instance, someone may chant the holy name because he sees a devotee and he thinks the dress of the devotee is totally unconventional and therefore very funny. He says, ha 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 ha, there goes the fashion star, a Hare Krishna, and a mode star, and Hare Krishna. And he laughs and he chants Hare Krishna. This is namabhasa. But he doesn't chant it in the way of glorifying Krishna. He chants it more in the way of laughing, joking. So even by such a chanting, the darkness of material existence will be dispelled. The example has been given that when the sun begins to rise in the morning, even though it's not even over the horizon, still the darkness already starts to recede. Wie weich schon, wie fängt schon an zurückzuweichen. Like now, perfect time for this example. It's now, it's a little late today, 8, almost 5 minutes after 8. You can see already, the sun is not visible, medyutim, but the light is already in the atmosphere. It's a hopeful time of the winter. Now we feel, oh, soon there will be the sun, I will be able to see everything without this artificial lightning. It's a nice time of the day, one very angenehm, pleasurable. So this is also when you start with Krishna consciousness. Even a little start. You may not even see the Krishna consciousness, as in the case of Ajamir. But where is his Krishna consciousness? He just called Narayan, meaning his son. But already that little, 100 times little, was sufficient to save him from the greatest fear, which is indicated here, that the Yamadutas, the servants of Yamaraj, would just brutally take him and bring him away for punishment for his sinful activities. Now, if a devotee misuses this, he can actually... Sorry. Very good point now. So, you might ask yourself the question now, what did Prabhupada answer to this question? What is the result of someone who begins to chant? His answer was, he will chant more. Very simple. He will start the process of devotional service and he will continue. From the Bhagavad Gita, we understand that even a little advancement in Krishna consciousness is so strong that it will be carried over into a next existence, a next life, and someone who has not perfected the process of Krishna consciousness will be able to start anew in the next life at the exact same point where he left off in his previous life. There are many such examples, and many of our children in Krishna consciousness are living witnesses, lebende Zeugen, of this fact. They have it much easier when they start the process of Krishna consciousness. I want to draw your attention to the little Bhima in Berlin. When I was there in the temple, he would sometimes see him looking very carefully, then he would go on the Vyasasan, he would sit down, but not in joke, perfectly serious, would take a pair of cartels. Jaya Radha Madhava, you know, and chant the whole song. Many the parents of our children know these many such very endearing little stories, how saints seem to have taken fallen yogis, so to say, or not perfected yogis, we can also use this example, this termina, have taken birth in their family and sometimes even help their parents to become more Krishna conscious. So now there could be, in other words, what we have discussed so far is that even a little advancement on the process of Krishna consciousness will bring more advancement. Yes? Now at this stage of our discussion, we come to a very important point. The point here is, how do we deal with this? What is our conclusion? One very bad conclusion would be like this. Okay, Hare Krishna. Okay, if this is the case, that I can't go wrong, in other words, then what is wrong if I chant and break the regulative principles? Or if I chant and I'm not so serious in my life, then, you know, it will accumulate, there will be a spiritual bank account, then I die, maybe it's so much that I can already go back home, back to Godhead, despite, also trotz, my activities, or then I take birth in a gurukul. It would be nice, then I get a lot of sweets. Now I know children usually get a lot of sweets, I don't know. I always give children sweets, so that's already a lot, but so I like sweets, so let me take birth in a gurukul. So this might be a conclusion of attached mentality. However, this is very dangerous. There is, as we have discussed yesterday, there are certain offenses against the chanting of the holy name, and the gravest or most heavy offense is if you chant the holy name hoping that by the strength of the chanting you can be just saved from the effects of your sinful activities, and therefore make solid and therefore misuse the chanting. See, there is one attitude which we must adopt when we chant the holy name. One inner mood or one inner feeling. this inner mood, or this is like a secret, secret, I wouldn't say, it's like the key, der Schlüssel zur ganzen, zum ganzen Chanten, is absolutely required. If you do not get this key, somehow or other, the chanting might not be so, you can chant for a long time, because you will be forced to commit offenses so that the results don't really come. That mood is, you must consider yourself a servant. Oh, heavy. You must consider yourself a servant of the holy name. And of, that means a servant of Krishna, because Krishna is the holy name. Then only you can really chant. If you think, oh, I will use the chanting in my service, then it just doesn't work. I have a very nice example in my memory, which I like very much. It's about Mick Jagger, who is a singer, a pop singer, quite well known. I don't know if you remember the name. He had a friend who joined the Hare Krishna temple, Jai Hari, his name. And because it seemed to be a close friendship, this Mick Jagger came often to the London temple when we were still in Bury Place, that's the street near the Oxford Museum, where our first Hare Krishna temple in London was. And he came with a big car and he asked for Jai Hari, and Jai Hari came and they drove a little around London, and Jai Hari was preaching to him until finally he convinced him to chant Hare Krishna. He said, you can't understand Krishna consciousness if you don't chant, therefore please chant. I don't like to chant. I like to sing sinful songs. I don't think he would have answered like this, but this was his mood at least. And anyway, Jai Hari said, in the name of our friendship, I'm asking you to chant. Don't be lazy. How much? One round is enough. Start with one round. So Jai Hari was a young devotee and he thought, chanting is so nice. He will like it. And then he will chant. And then he will sing his next song, I can't get no Hare Krishna. I can't get enough Hare Krishna chanting. Like this. This was his secret hope, you know. That would be such a nice song. I cannot chant enough Hare Krishna. This is very good. This is desired. However, he didn't have the right mood. He wanted to experience something, some flashes, out-of-body experiences, and so on. This is not, the holy name is no one's servant. I hear that some of our friends who start, they get such realizations, and I'm telling them, well, I don't know why, but this is not the result we are after. This is must be something in your mind, must be loosened, and because of the result of the loosening, was ich da was in deinem Geist löst. Therefore you see some, but it will go away, Prabhupada said, it will go away. So yes, and then after one round of chanting he gave the beads back and he said, sorry, it's not my cup of tea. Because this is the wrong mood. If you want to enjoy the chanting, and this becomes manifested, this enjoying spirit, in this offense where you think, I chant and then I sin, and then it will be Moshe, but then it will be alright. isn't it? Then this means you are not really in the right mood where you can actually taste the holy name, that the holy name will reveal himself. You must take the other mood, which is Yasam Sluga. Oh, sorry, I'm always going back into this language, I don't know why. I am a servant. This must be your mood. If you do not have this mood, then the chanting will never ever become tasteful for you. You can chant on for millions of years. Please remember in this connection how Srila Prabhupada was telling us the meaning of the Hare Krishna mantra, what it means. He said, the chanting of Hare Krishna means, my dear Lord, please engage me in your service. Do you know this? Shows you, this is the mood we must have. We know it is sometimes difficult to consider oneself a servant, because due to our material infection, we always want to be the master of everything we survey, everything we see. But by hearing more and more about the glories of Krishna from the scriptures, we can come to the stage where we, with blissful mentality, consider ourselves the eternal servant of such a wonderful Lord. We will come to the stage where we know, without serving Krishna, my life is empty and void. If I am not connected with Krishna through devotional service, then I will be crazy. I must go crazy. Krishna, we must be connected with you all the time. Then if a devotee comes to this stage in his Krishna consciousness or her Krishna consciousness, his life is very, very blissful. But unless and until we think ourselves these false masters, it's not so easy. However, service to Krishna is something very pleasing and very nice. It's a tonic for the heart. Sometimes food is considered a tonic to the heart. Yesterday, for instance, they were preaching the whole day. That's why the voice is gone from early morning, just talk, preach. Then in the evening, we are so tired. Then a nice Vaishnava brought us some bread, had some milost, and then, you know, just by eating a little prasadam, the heart was already feeling full of joy and energy, and then one could go on reading a little on. So this is, the chanting is such a tonic for the heart. Our devotional service is such a tonic. Do you know what is meant with a tonic? Wahrscheinlich nicht, ihr seid nicht so. Ein Tonikum. Was ist denn ein Tonikum? Ein Tonikum. They have this in Ayurvedic medicine. It's something which gives you strength and energy. Ein Elixier, ja. E.T.A. Hoffmann hat da Elixier des das wollen wir nicht. Ein Elixier, ein Lebenselixier, sagt man in Deutsch. Versteht ihr jetzt? Lebenselixier. I think we all know this. We come from a week of Sankirtan. I saw Martin Dushka coming up the stairs. Ooh, heavy week. Ooh. And then one is in the temple, and then all of a sudden the heart feels so energetic, isn't it, Dushka? One feels new energy all of a sudden. It's not possible to sleep, it's not possible to... When it just is happy. And in the kirtan, one just feels like jumping through the roof of the room. Thomas wouldn't like it because he had just made it so nice. It would leave a terrible hole. Then it feels so much energy. This is what comes if we engage in devotional service. We all have this experience. Sometimes we feel so mental and nothing seems to work, and the whole world seems to be our enemy. Even the devotees have no understanding, and everything is terrible, and we think, oh, they quarrel all the time, what is this? And then on top of it, Muli Manohar has cooked not enough prasadam, and you know, that's like the schlagam on the whole thing, the cream on the whole frustration cake, you know, and then like this. But we start this devotional service in a serious and helpless way, at that time Krishna, at that time our heart will get an elixir, a tonic, isn't it? And we will become very strong all of a sudden, very hopeful, very enthusiastic. We can see everything in right perspective, not under the dark oblak or cloud of frustration and so on and so forth, or material vision. We see everything as a very hopeful chance to become Krishna consciousness, and we please the Lord by our service. When the Lord is pleased, what is the problem? All we want in this life is to please the Lord. Nothing else. We should give up our desires to become happy, successful people in this world. It won't work. Never and ever, ever. Our new bhaktis look shocked. Yes, this is the situation. We must give up this desire. It won't work. What we can hope to achieve is to please the Lord with our service. And by pleasing the Lord with our service, everything will be taken care of. Because we are the parts of the Lord in this world, and if the whole is satisfied, then the part is automatically also satisfied. Just like if you bring water to the roots of a plant, then also the leaves on the plant are naturally full of water. Please have faith in this. This is called Shraddha. You need this faith to become strong in Krishna consciousness. It really works. Look at Prahlad Maharaj. Prahlad satisfied the Lord, and it seemed the whole world was against him. I mean, he was in a, almost like in a folterkammer, in a chamber of torture. But his father tried to, he tried to kill him, and I mean, he really was fixed in this determination to kill his own son. But Prahlad had satisfied the Lord, and the Lord just protected him. Good. So this is the end. Hope I could say something which is for your benefit in your own Krishna consciousness endeavors, Krishna conscious endeavors. Let me see, are there any questions regarding all this? Purnamasi.
I have one question about the
yes. Mulam, yes.
In Srimadya Lila, chapter 10.
Please read loud, my senses are still asleep.
Man kann den Herrn in Zuneigung oder in Ehrfurcht dienen. Wenn der Dienst in Zuneigung dargebracht wird, ist das die besondere Barmherzigkeit des Herrn. Wenn Dienst in Ehrfurcht dargebracht wird, ist es zweifelhaft, ob Krishnas Barmherzigkeit tatsächlich etwas damit zu tun hat.
Kannst du mir das Zitat in ich beantworte es gleich. Kannst du mir es bitte auch in Englisch nicht jetzt, in Englisch raussuchen und mir das dann aufschreiben? Kommt für meine Zitatensammlung. Ein sehr schönes Zitat. Ja. So Purnamasi has asked a difficult question. Achso, es ist da drin. Wo ist es denn? Natürlich. Setz dich hin. One can serve the Lord either out of... It's doubtful if Krishna's mercy has something to do with this. Yeah? This has something to do with the two stages of devotional service. One is called Vaidhi Bhakti. There are actually three stages of devotional service. Vaidhi Bhakti. In Vaidhi Bhakti, one is called Sarana Bhakti. And in Sarana Bhakti, there are two stages. One is Vaidhi, that is, one does something out of awe and reverence, and also out of fear. Because in the scriptures it says, you must do this. And because you have heard someone who doesn't follow the scriptures, that's in the Bhagavad Gita, he cannot lead a happy life either in this life or the next. Huh? So therefore, out of fear and out of awe, respect, you do this. The other is spontaneous devotional service. And even in the process of, in the beginning process, Prabhupada says that one could serve in a spontaneous way. He gives an example. Instead of going to Mangal Aarti because you have to, otherwise you might not get any social recognition and maybe no breakfast. That was a law in some of our temples. We wouldn't come to Mangal Aarti for no breakfast. We were very poor, so we had to somehow make some selection. And then there is a stage where you don't feel threatened, where you just want to come to Mangal Aarti. It's just, nothing could be better than coming to Mangal Aarti at that time of the day for you. Or you read, not because you must read 1 hour, otherwise you're not a brahmana. But you do it because you like to read. So this is on our platform. It's spontaneous attraction to the books, and so on and so forth. So someone who does this out of spontaneous attraction, he has received the mercy of the Lord. Because, why? He has some taste. Krishna, out of his modesty, out of his mercy, has given him some taste. But he who does simply everything out of fear, he doesn't really have a taste. You know, someone who does something out of fear, there is no taste, there is no attraction even. So Krishna doesn't really become impressed by this so much. Isn't it? If you just consider an ordinary human beings, if someone would give you a present because he fears that you will talk something bad about him if he doesn't give you a present, it's not really alright. You take the presents to avoid further problems with the person, but you don't become pleased. But if someone comes, Purnamasi, I brought for you something very nice from the deities in Zurich. A nice dal, cup of dal, Then you will be, wow, so nice, wonderful, thank you. And you will take the dal with great relish and great support. So, in this way, this can be explained. Krishna
is therefore in the scriptures it says Krishna is very, very he's satisfied more with the dealings of his dear devotees in Vrindavan, who does do everything motivated out of love. He doesn't really become so impressed even by the Vedic hymns which are chanted. He doesn't become so impressed. Yes? Yeah.
Last week, Dr. Ikea was asking me a question. He said he will speak about later on, but I don't think you have.
What was the question again, please?
About when in the spiritual world we feel attraction only on Krishna. Our attraction is only directed on Krishna. And then the question came up, what is if the other devotees were there?
In the, if we like them also?
Yes.
Yeah. Question is that if our love goes only to Krishna in the spiritual world, what is about love to other devotees in the spiritual world? The answer is again very simple but very deep, and it obviously has deeper dimensions than we may be accustomed to think of. The answer is, if you love Krishna, you love everyone. This is what we have heard so often, just like if you give water to the root of the tree or to the stomach, you serve the whole. See, in this world, when we give our love or affection to only one object or one person, that automatically means we don't give it to others, because we don't have it. We can only it's like the point of concentration. When you invest like 100% of your concentration, which is I think psychologically not possible, but let's say 80% of your concentration, you can't give them to your children. You know, if your child comes and says, can we make a walk? You say, I'm sorry, I have to type. And you can't do both. You know. But in the spiritual world, this is not like this. If you love Krishna, you also love the others. It is said, for instance, of Srimati Radharani, who is the greatest lover of Krishna. If Rani sees, she goes to Vrindavan and she sees a calf which has eaten straw, and somehow a straw has pierced into the mouth. Stroh ist da reingestopft. Then Radharani stops other activities, goes to the calf and takes the straw out and puts turmeric on. In other words, that shows great care and love to the calf. We find that Srimati Radharani puts water even on the trees because she loves them. Why does she love them? Because Krishna is satisfied by, they are all his devotees. Now you may think, well, that's not love. If someone loves me because I am, let us say, the member of the Heidelberg Temple, because that's what love is this. I want that they love me as I am, a person, not a member of someone or something else. This is how we would, at least, maybe not a devotee would think. I don't can imagine also a devotee would sometimes think. Anyways, let us not deal with this question. This is a usual feeling. Or let us say, someone loves you because your last name starts with M. You think, no, we want love to go to us, not because of some reason, but because it's causeless. Maybe because of our qualities, that's the reason. So, but here, it's not like this. Krishna is the center of all creation. He's the natural self of the self.